security of the believer, as do a lot of other evangelical groups. We tend to concentrate that on that all the time. And most of our messages tend to be inclusive of salvation by grace, which is true, security of the believer, which is true, and the Lord is coming, which is true. So one of the things I've had to do to force myself since I've been here is to concentrate very heavily on what about 95% of the Bible is about. It's about instructions to save people as to what God expects of them after they're saved. And it's preaching on this particular area in the Bible that normally alienates people, normally makes people leave churches, and normally causes the preacher great grief because sometimes many of them are guilty of the things the Bible is talking about, just as I often am guilty of the same things I preach about. It's very easy to preach on salvation by grace. It's very easy to preach on secure the believer. And it's very easy to preach on the second coming of Christ. That's just something that's very enjoyable, something that's very easy to do, something that doesn't get a violent response. And once someone's name has been permanently, indelibly inscribed in the book of life, there's a sort of laid-back, kind of lackadaisical way that a person tends to begin to look at God. You've got your salvation. He assures you he won't take it back. And he assures you his son is coming. So there's a tendency to just kind of say, okay, I've got that settled. I know, and it's only natural, that most parents are vehemently interested in getting their children saved so that they'll go to heaven. And certainly that was something I was vehemently interested in. But after that, they kind of say, well, at least they're going to heaven. And truly, that's a very valid expression, and I'm very thankful for it. And we spend a lot of time talking about the book of life. There is a book of life that will be opened at the great white throne of judgment. And there's absolutely no question about that. There is a book of life that will be opened at the great white throne of judgment. And my name is indelibly inscribed there, because my sins, past, present, and future, are covered by the blood of Christ and by his sacrificial offering. So I'm not going to be at the great white throne of judgment, because all those that are there, all of the lost that have been resurrected, are going to be cast into a lake of fire solely because their name is not found written in the book of life. Death represents the grave. Hell represents just what you think it does. Right now, as I'm speaking, all the people that died in the past with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are in a grave of death, as are all the saved. But there's a difference between where their souls are. The bodies of all the saved are in the same graves of death, physical death, as the lost. But the lost souls are in hell, and the saved souls are in heaven. There's coming a time when this age closes, the final age, the millennial age, and the great white throne judgment comes, which is the final judgment before the final heaven age, where all the saved will live on a new heaven and a new earth in glorified spiritual bodies, and where all the lost will be in a lake of fire forever. All these people there, because their name are not written in the book of life, experience what is known as the second death. And in verse 15, Revelation 20:15, it clearly states what will happen to them. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't have a thing in the world to worry about at this. nor do any of you that are saved. And these are pleasant subjects to talk about, so we can concentrate on salvation by grace and secure the believer and Jesus' coming, which are all true. And he tells us, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the one that occurs a little more than 1,000 years before this final great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, 6. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. A lot of times people stop short of that. Preachers stop short of that. Churches stop short of that. And they say, won't it be wonderful, wonderful there? And in these churches, they'll tell you that someone can come down the aisle and get saved. And if they are saved, if they do put their faith in Christ, then they walk out and for the rest of their lives run away from the Holy Spirit of God. They don't have to worry about the second death. You say, well, that won't happen. Oh, yes, it will. It does happen all the time. Heaven is not determined by the works of man. Heaven is determined by the works of Christ, and by our faith in what he did for our sins. And it is quite possible for someone after they're saved to do the absolute minimum for God, and many do. And somehow the impression is given when we're all up there with Jesus in the millennial reign that everybody's going to have the same reward, it's going to be the same for everybody, and it won't make any difference because we were saved by grace. And nothing could be further from the truth. Shall reign with him 1,000 years. So to what degree will they reign? As a husband, I reign over my family, but I have a lot of people that reign over me, and there are a lot of people that are my superiors, even in this governmental structure we have. Some other countries, that's more true than here. There is a book of remembrance for those who did not suffer the second death, and they will be judged out of this book for how well they did serve God as his children in this life. You need to think about that. I need to think about it. That's why I'm up here preaching this morning. That's why I've pastored this church for 28 years. I'm going to have to stand before God and be judged out of this book of remembrance. Now, God knows everybody that's saved. He doesn't need a book written down with scroll names in it. A lot of the things that we read in the Bible, God puts it there because we have finite minds. And we can't have a concept of God knowing everybody that's saved and everybody that's lost. So he gives us a book to tell us about it. And God knows who served and who didn't. And all the angels in heaven know because they're here. And they see it. But he tells us there's a book of remembrance for those who did not suffer the second death, and they will be judged out of this book for how well they did serve God as his children in this life. And we're going to talk about this book of remembrance. God talks about it through the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 6, 9 through 11. And if you're a child of God, you would do well, as I would do well, to pay heed to this. But beloved, children of God, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Okay, so your name's written in the book of life. Though we thus speak, now notice what he says. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He won't forget it. And he knows whether you do it or not. And he knows why you do it and for what purpose. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Think of all the churches in our missionary Baptist works that have treated the pastors like dirt. You say, that doesn't happen. Listen, they vacate the pulpit all the time on pastors. You say, well, you're just taking up for them because you're one of them. No, I've been here 28 years. You haven't run me off, and I'm not worried about you running me off. And I thank God for that. But I've known churches up in northern Arkansas where when they couldn't starve the man out by cutting his salary, they actually went out during service and excreted human waste matter on the back seat of his car. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are a lot of people in our churches that are going to have to give an answer for the way they treated one another, as well as the pastor. And God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. God's going to hold you accountable at Christ's judgment seat for how well you performed His work in His church. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. How long are you supposed to do this? Forever, as long as you hold that H2O, that oxygen, two parts oxygen, a molecule inside you, and you're still breathing. Now, this book of remembrance is a very important book. And it has to do, to a large extent, with reverential fear. So let's talk about reverential fear. Today, there's a move on television among many different groups. Why God loves His children. Oh, God doesn't want them to suffer. God won't let anything happen to them. It's just, oh, it's wonderful, 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 wonderful. God is pictured as a great dodo sitting up in heaven that administers to all our wants. And if we don't get everything we want, it's just because we don't have enough faith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I realize that whenever I came to Christ, I had a fear of going to hell. So I came to Christ. But after I was saved, do you think that I don't fear the Lord anymore? Do you think I don't have a reverential respect for Him anymore? Listen, they wear T-shirts in school all the time that says, "No fear, no fear." This younger generation in which we live today, because they don't believe there's a God, in many cases, have no fear. And many church members, after they have received Christ as their Savior, and they're going to heaven, and that's settled, and they can't lose their salvation, and Jesus is coming to whisk them out of here without any problems or troubles, they don't have any reverential fear or respect of the Lord either. He's just a big sugar daddy in heaven that gives them everything they want. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They trust in their own wisdom. They instruct themselves. They don't pay attention to the Word of God. They don't pay attention to what God has to say because they've got their salvation. They're going to heaven. But there is a book of remembrance. And when we come before Christ, it will be opened and we will be judged out of it. Proverbs 1:7. For fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I ask the Lord every night to give me wisdom, discernment, and understanding. I'm not a fool. I know I don't have any. But I know He is the giver of all wisdom and instruction. And I know there is no mistake in His instruction. And I know this book is that instruction. Proverbs 15:16. We're talking about fear, reverential fear and respect. After a lot of people get saved, they don't seem to have any respect for God. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. We've had an awful lot of people in this church in the 28 years I've been here. And the countless numbers of missionary Baptist churches during the past that have had people that turned to the ways of the world, dropped out of church, got big homes, big cars, and big success. But they discovered that they had a lot of trouble keeping their money. Their eyes stayed glued to the stock market. They took their eyes off God. And their children were raised, and they've had nothing but family problems ever since. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. Fear of the Lord. I have fear of the Lord. Why do you think I'm still in the ministry? If I left the ministry, God would kill me. You say, you don't know that, but I fear Him. And I'm afraid He might. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, God is a God of love. Oh, Brother McElmurray, you're supposed to love God. Listen, without respect, there is no love. Without respect, there is no love. I love people I respect. And I respect God's judgment. I don't respect my own. I respect His. And He indicates that if you don't do what He wants, and it's detrimental to His ministry, He may take your physical life. You say, well, you don't know Him like I do because I just ooze with love. My friend, you better wake up, because one day that oozing of love is going to be shocked with reality. Take a look at Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. A lot of you had good fathers when you grew up. Some of you may not have, but a lot of you did. Did you fear your father to this extent that you had great confidence that if you didn't do right, he was going to do something to correct you? That showed you had respect for it. You had respect for his opinion, and you knew that he knew what he was doing, and you had strong confidence in him. It's kind of like one little boy says, my daddy can whip your daddy. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my place of refuge. Yes, I fear the Lord, because I know he's perfect, and he's good, and he's righteous. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. I know that, and I know I'm not. And I know if I step out of line, he's not going to let me get away with it. Oh, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me. But if I just walk out of the ministry and recklessly abandon the faith and commit a willful sin and say, I'm tired of going to church, I'm tired of worshiping, I'm tired of doing what God wants, I want out of this, I don't think I'd last very long. I have a tremendous respect for him and fear, a reverential fear. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Yes, when you come to the Lord and receive Christ, you receive a spring of life that springs up in you and never ends to depart from the snares of death. But after you receive him as your Savior, if your life becomes such a detriment to his service that you are a hindrance to the cause of Christ and your bodily presence on this earth is causing him more problems than you're worth, because he loves you, he'll take you home early. You won't go to hell, but don't expect a reward in heaven. Just how much do you really believe all this? If you believe in him as your Savior, if you believe he'll never leave you nor forsake you, if you believe he's coming again, you do well. All that's true. Well, what happens when he does come? When you and I have to stand before him? Are you afraid of that? I am. That's why I'm still in the ministry. That's not the only reason, but that's one of them. Malachi 4, 1 and 2. This day's coming. You better get ready for it. It's not too far away. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Am I afraid of that? Do I think God's wrath is going to be poured out on me? No, I believe that Jesus is coming. And I don't believe I'm going to suffer the wrath of God. Look at verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That's true for the nation of Israel, to whom that was written. It's true for all of God's children. You think in the millennial reign, when you suddenly are transformed into a glorified body, that all the things you should have learned from the Lord and about the Lord are going to be poured into your glorified cranium, and you're going to know as much as the Lord? No. The millennial reign is going to be a learning experience for all of God's children. You can be sinless and not be all-knowing. The angels are sinless, angels of God, yet they are not all-knowing. We're going to have a long time to learn a lot of things in the millennial reign. You better start growing up now. So in the millennial reign, you ever think about this? And grow up as calves of the stall. You say, well, that'll all take care of itself, Brother McMurray. I understand that. But you better start taking care of some things right now. So when you come before this book of remembrance, you'll have some things in there the Lord will be able to reward you for. And the second death, which you won't experience, you're going to be reigning. To what degree are you going to be reigning? What kind of a job? What kind of responsibility are you having? Oh, you, Brother McMurray, you're not supposed to think about stuff like that. Why not? It's in the Scriptures. Why did God put it in there? If it didn't mean for it to be an incentive for us to reverentially fear and respect him. Now let's go back up above, Malachi 4, 1 and 2. Remember, there are no chapter divisions in the original writings of the Old Testament. So Micah chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, that's the last verse in verse 3, 18, it runs right into this. Notice what he says in 3:16 through 18, Malachi 3:16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord. Well, I'm saved. I fear the Lord. Spake often one to another. You ever talk about the Lord one to another? What are we doing here this morning? We're assembled, aren't we? Is this not the Word of God? Is that not what you see on this screen? Am I not speaking to you? Do we not speak one to another? Do we not fellowship together? Are we not assembled together? Did the Lord not say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching? Is God unrighteous to forget our labor of love? Is God unrighteous to remember that we came to church and we spoke one another and we fellowshiped together and we worshiped together? Has God forgotten all that? No. It's written in a book of remembrance, not a book of life, but a book for those who have life, eternal life. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. That's not the book of life. That's not the book where if your name isn't in it, you're thrown into a lake of fire. That's this book right here. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We come together, we worship God, we love one another, we work together for God's cause. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. This was written to a church of Hebrews that were probably assembled somewhere around Alexandria in Egypt. And these are things that accompany salvation. And that is what a book of remembrance is. This book, the book of life, is a book in which the lost people's name will not be found at the great white throne of judgment. But this is a book of remembrance for those who did not suffer the second death, and they will be judged out of this book for how well they did serve God as his children this life. And make no mistake about it, whether you accept it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. And when you stand there, you won't be able to say, well, I wasn't told. You are being told, and you're looking at God's word, and you're seeing it at his word. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's fellowship. That's assembling together. That's worshiping God. Don't think the Lord doesn't hear it. Don't think it isn't recorded. Don't think he doesn't remember it. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. Them that feared the Lord, they respected the Lord. Why are you here this morning? You respect the Lord. That's why you're here. Why are a lot of these people that could be here, physically able to be here, but aren't here because they don't care? Because they don't have a reverential fear and respect of the Lord. Because they've got their salvation. They're going to heaven. And they don't have a reverential fear of the Lord. It's a respect. You love people you respect. And people that won't worship and come out to be with him when his son's presence is in every one of his churches, they don't have any love for God. Because they don't respect him. They don't have a reverential fear and respect. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. What are we doing here this morning? Who are we thinking about? We're thinking about the Lord. I hope you are. I hope you're realizing that the Lord is the one whose spirit wrote this book, and he is warning us that people that fear the Lord, and he's not talking about lost people, are people that assemble together, speak often one to another about the things of the Lord, and they are people that think upon his name. I respect him. Because I respect him, I love him. I respect him because he is righteous, because he is perfect. Because he is all-knowing, he is all-wise, he is all-powerful, he is all-omnipresent, he's everywhere. I respect him. And it's a respect that bears fear, because I'm imperfect and sinful in the flesh. And so I come seeking his wisdom and his counsel. And I think on his name, I meditate on his name, I pray and talk to him, I study his word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when I come before this judgment seat, I want to have that book of remembrance in such a mode that it has some things to say about me that the Lord approves of. And they shall be mine. This means more than just going to heaven. This is a personal possession. You know what the church is called in the book of Matthew? Pearl of great price. Is the church made up of all those people who assemble together? No, some people that assemble with it are lost. Some people that assemble with it are unbaptized. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is that God's church?
Is it made up of all those people on this church roll who aren't here this morning and could be here and haven't been here for a long time that just come on Easter and Christmas? No. This is talking about jewels. It's talking about a pearl of great price. It's talking about people that will be in his immediate presence. It's talking about people that will be given a job of responsibility in the millennial reign for 1,000 years. Because after they got saved, they reverentially feared the Lord. They respected him. And out of that respect came love and a desire to serve him. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. He's going to pick out the ones that were faithful after they were saved. Everyone that's written in the book of life is going to heaven. But there are a lot of people that are going to be there in heaven in glorified bodies and very happy. But not nearly as happy as the people who chose to serve God in his church. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You see, spare them from what? Spare them from the embarrassment that will be experienced at the judgment seat of Christ when they are standing there with no excuse for not having served him. Having been told there was a book of remembrance, having been told in about 95% of the Bible how important it is to serve God, they'll be spared from that embarrassment because they served him. You don't serve God any way except his way. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what I'm doing. I'm exhorting you. God's word indicates as the day approaches, you better get faithful. You better get your life and heart right. You better start serving God. I'm telling you, there isn't much time left. And I'm telling you that these jewels are a close, intimate, personal possession around the immediate vicinity of the Lord because they were faithful. They were not only called, they were chosen as jewels because after they were called, they were faithful. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Then shall you return. Is this written for the faithful of all the ages? Absolutely. This is written from the faithful from Adam to the present day. Is the church included in it? Certainly. But in every age there have been people that are faithful. And it talks about these people, these jewels, who come back with him. Remember, he's just told you about this terrible time that's coming on the earth in Malachi 4, 1 and 2. People are raptured out, then they're judged in heaven. Then they return, verse 18. Then shall you return. What are you going to do when you return? Won't it be wonderful, wonderful there? You think you're just going to sit around on a toadstool? Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. You're going to be watching the people on this earth, whether you believe it or not. You're going to see what they do, and you're going to be the judge of who is serving God and who is not serving him, for those people still left on this earth is physical bodies. Now, God gives you some real good advice in the last chapter of the book of Daniel. Chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise, they're the ones that fear the Lord. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Do you mean they will be more glorious than others that are there? Yes. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What am I trying to say? It pays to serve God. Malachi 3:18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I've told you many times, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to find out, and so am I, whether it's true. When we come back, we'll be on this earth in glorified bodies. Right now, as I'm speaking to you on the other side of my flesh, right here in this auditorium, there are principalities and kingdoms and powers of darkness. You can't see them. It's a spiritual kingdom. Satan is the head of it. He has generals, lieutenants, all kind of fallen angels. And in this auditorium right now, there are angels of God who chose to follow God rather than Satan in the past. And once they made that choice, they were sealed in it forever, and they will forever be the angels of God. And those who chose Satan will forever be the angels of Satan. They're here. They see me every day of my life. They see you every day of your life. They know everything you do. I believe I've had guardian angels over my life since I was born. I believe that God has protected me, and I thank God for sending those angels. I don't praise those angels. I'm grateful they're there. But I'm thankful to God for sending them. When we come back, what are our bodies going to be made of? Certainly not something on a periodic chemistry chart. They're going to be made of something like Christ's body, where he could suddenly disappear from the eyes of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where he could suddenly appear behind closed doors. That's not anything physical that we're aware with on a periodic chemistry chart. So what are we going to be doing down here for 1,000 years? Just going catfishing for spirified catfish, just sitting around, laying back and doing nothing? We'd go out of our minds, our spiritual minds. We're going to be serving God. And for 1,000 years, we're going to be watching all these people, just like the angels are watching us now, and they won't be able to see us. And we're going to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And this is something that we will be used as direct rods of God. We are the rods of God. You want to see this in Revelation? Revelation 2, 26, 29. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Remember that first verse of scripture I showed you about these people that were supposed to serve God? And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hebrews 6:11. Now look what this says. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Just because you don't experience the second death, just because you're saved and you're going to heaven, don't get the idea that God's going to give you an important job in heaven just because of what his son did so you could be there. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You better start thinking about this. We don't have much time left in our lives to serve God as God directs. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You say, I don't want power over the nations. I just want to be with my Lord. When you get to be with your Lord, you're going to want to please him. And he's going to give you an assignment that's commensurate, directly proportional to how much you served him here. You better wake up. 1,000 years is a long time. What follows it's the heaven age, which I cannot even describe. It goes on forever. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This overcomer, this isn't talking about Jesus. And he that overcometh shall keepeth my works until the end. To him will I give power over the nations. And he, the overcomer, shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you better wake up. And I will give him the morning star. That means Christ is the morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he is the morning star. He's talking about a warm, close, personal relationship by his jewels that surround him. Look what he says this to. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You say, well, I don't see any sense in getting baptized and becoming a member of a church. You better wake up. Because this was written to churches, plural. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where the jewels are going to be taken from in this age in which we live. They'll be taken from all the ages. It's based on faithfulness and following God's instructions in the age in which you live. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's what Paul said about the rapture. Here's what John said about finishing it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And what's going to happen at that time? Revelation 11, 15, and 18. And the seventh angel sounded. This is when he sounds. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kings of this world have become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. Okay, you're going to be with him. You're going to be here in a glorified body if you're saved. Okay, you're going to be on this earth. What kind of a job are you going to be given? What kind of responsibility are you going to have? What do you think you're going to do for 1,000 years? Don't sit there like a bump on a log and do nothing in this life. Start making your life count for something in service in his church. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath has come. Revelation 11, 18. It's coming. And the time of the dead, that's the resurrection of the dead, the first resurrection. Oh, their name's written in the book of life. They shall be judged by Christ. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets. There's your reward. Prophets are going to be given a great job of responsibility in the millennial reign. And to the saints, and to them that fear thy name. See that word fear? They had a reverential respect for his name. You think those people that got saved and are there at the judgment seat of Christ and are going to be in heaven forever and have glorified bodies, you think he's going to reward them when they sit around on their duff and didn't have any reverential fear or respect for him after they got saved, that didn't come to church, that thought so little of him that they just sat home? And them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. I won't be here when God destroys the earth. But I'm going to give you this bit of advice. And it's not my advice, it's God's. And it's written to a church at Colossae. When it comes to your giving to the Lord, when it comes to your being faithful in your attendance to the Lord, when it comes to you being willing to serve the Lord and his church, when it comes in your ability and opportunity to be kind one to another, you better get at it, and I better get at it also. Colossians 3, 23, 25. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Ekpasike, that means from a saved soul. As to the Lord and not unto men. You better just start serving God. You better start doing it because he is God and because you have a reverential respect for him. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. He's the one that's going to give the reward to them that fear his name. And those that don't fear his name aren't going to get much of a reward in heaven. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Pay very close attention to verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Yes, I believe in salvation by grace. Yes, I believe in security of the believer. Yes, I believe that Jesus is coming. And yes, I believe that all the saved are going to heaven. And yes, I believe it's going to be a wonderful, joyous time. But I tell you something else. I also believe that God's Son is going to judge us for how much we respected his Father. And if you don't come to church, and if you aren't faithful in your attendance and your giving and the things you should do for the Lord, you don't show much respect for the Lord at all. And don't think he can reward you for something you didn't do. You need to think about it. I'm telling you this because I love you, because the time is short. These things I'm preaching to you are things I need to constantly be aware of and constantly doing. It's something we all need to be aware of, because the time's growing short. As Kay comes, as Danny comes, I've shown you God's word.